Hello and welcome to the Nourishing Podcast with your hosts, Melanie Angelus from the Grecian Garden and Emily Morgan from Nourishing Mama. All information shared on this podcast relating to specific conditions, health care, preventative care, and healthy lifestyles is presented for educational purposes only. Today, we will be speaking with Junior D'Souza, professional soccer player, speaker, and author. Junior is a wealth of knowledge regarding staying at your peak physical performance, and he will be sharing with us today. Hey, Emily.
Hey, Melanie.
What's new with you?
Oh, my goodness. I have recently been doing a bunch of cooking classes, and my most recent one was doing a paleo cooking class in a professional kitchen with a professional chef.
Wow.
And it was very exciting and very entertaining, too, but I learned a lot and got to teach a lot of things. That was a couple weeks ago, and then Friday, I got a call from the same chef, and she asked me if I could do an impromptu last-minute gluten-free, dairy-free private party for four tomorrow.
Oh, you would be perfect for that. It was probably so good.
Yeah, so I'm super excited. I just set my menu up and had to get all my ingredients and stuff. But, yeah, so that's going to happen tomorrow. So that's
awesome. What are you going to be making?
I'm making, some shrimp with bacon. I'm making an egg drop soup again. I'm doing a tapioca roll. And then I'm doing a fish with a spinach, kind of like a braised spinach.
Wow, that sounds so good.
Yeah, I'm nervous because they're hiring a private violinist, but, you know, it'll be okay. I'll get through it. So what's going on with you?
Well, not too much. Actually, this week we're going to be filming Keep Your Body Active, and that's actually why Junior's in town, and we're going to be filming nutrition segments and working with some doctors, and there's going to be some fitness instructors, and they're going to be going over how to just live a holistic lifestyle and how to be healthy with regards to health and fitness. So I'm really excited about it. That actually will not be coming out until probably January of 2014 because it just takes a lot of editing, but it's definitely something that I'll share with people in the future as soon as I know about it.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That's kind of like a catch-all, impromptu video for somebody if they need some information. Is it like a documentary or?
Well, it's kind of cool. It's like a web-based video series, and it's really educational. It'll be for everybody.
Oh, okay.
People that are advanced, beginner, so it's really exciting.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds awesome. So we're talking with Junior today, and Junior is a professional soccer player. I grew up playing soccer, went to college on a soccer scholarship, and played 2 years of semi-pro after college, so I know what it takes to be fit. It's a lot of hard work. I mean, absolutely a lot of hard work to get to that level. And Junior is still playing professional soccer, so we're going to talk about his peak physical performance today. Leading into that, Junior, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so glad that you are here, and I cannot wait to talk to you about soccer and all your trials and tribulations with that. I can definitely relate, although I've stopped playing recently. Just, you know, you can't really continue to play all the time, although I still love playing. But when you go out, you know, you take a couple of days off, or even a couple of weeks off, your body kind of starts to lose performance and you kind of lose your skills and whatnot. So how do you get to where you are with your athletic journey? What kind of prompted you into doing what you do today?
Well, wow, that's a very broad question. I think I'll start with this. I think probably the main way that I've been able to stay fit enough to play soccer and be able to sustain long term, just really intense physical activity, is I have to train in seasons. In other words, I can't train at a hard, high, brutal intensity every season. I alternate seasons where I'm training moderately to maintain, and then seasons where I'm training very, very hard. Seasons where I'm focusing specifically on a certain aspect of my fitness, conditioning, or soccer ability. But when I break it up into seasons like that, then I'm not reaching burnout, I'm not reaching fatigue, because I'm not just constantly overwhelming my body. So I definitely train very, very hard as far as the overall course of my my career. But I would say that there are seasons where I train at a 90 to 95% intensity level, and then seasons where I train at a 60 to 70% intensity level, and then seasons where I just specific on or focus on very specific aspects of my fitness. But I think that that's one thing that keeps a lot of developing athletes from having long-term success in their sport, is they get the misconception that they have to train just brutally intense all the time, every season for many years, and your body just can't handle that kind of intensity consistently without modifying the intensity of it.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. The seasons is very key to keeping your athletic performance up. What is your, as far as your training regimen goes, when you're training at your 90 to 95% peak, what types of activities are you doing other than soccer-related activities? What are your performance, it's not really your goals, but what types of skills are you working on?
Well, as far as soccer, it's an enormous amount of running, aerobic and anaerobic running. And even when I'm not training soccer specifically, I will still do a lot of running. But probably the exercise that I do that's not directly soccer specific is weightlifting. I do that in conjunction with fitness modeling. Now, it does have soccer benefits. It does help to be bigger and stronger, but there is a certain threshold as far as size and as far as muscularity for soccer players. So in addition to the running, which is very soccer specific, I do the weightlifting, and that helps my soccer and enhances my soccer as long as I keep that weightlifting calibrated to a soccer career and don't just become a big monster gorilla on the soccer field to where I can't run.
Right, right. Are there any tips that you can give us for, you know, in your off season or your 60%, some things that are the most important to focus on?
Yeah, here's what I would say. These are three or four principles that I have used over the years that work really, really well. Is the first one I've already mentioned, I train according to season. So I modify the intensity based on season. I train according to my recovery level. Sometimes my body will take 2-3 days to recover from a hard workout. Sometimes it will recover in 24 hours. It will recover more quickly. So I really listen to my body's recovery level, because if you train before your body or that specific muscle group is recovered or mostly recovered, then you can get injured and you can injure yourself pretty severely. So I train according to recovery level, and I'm sensitive to how my body's recovering, and I calibrate my training based on how recovered I am. And again, that's another mistake that a lot of developing athletes make, is they don't let their bodies recover fully, or they train beyond their recovery level. So if my recovery is high, and then I'll train harder. If my recovery is still kind of low or moderate, then I'll train kind of low or moderate. So I train according to season. I train according to my recovery level, but I also train intelligently. Based on your sport or based on your activity, There's intelligence or knowledge that you have to have about your specific sport. For me, it's soccer, or for me, it's moderate muscularity. And so I do an enormous amount of reading about soccer training or about, let's say, a fitness model body. I do an enormous amount of reading along those two lines. And so I keep myself very informed as to the most recent developments, the most recent studies, the most recent facts and data on soccer, soccer training, fitness model development, so that I'm always training intelligently. And I'm sure you know this, the things that we thought were smart training habits 20 years ago are not smart today, because studies have disproven that. So I train according to seasons, I train according to my recovery level, and I train intelligently, or according to intelligence.
Great, those are some great tips.
And, you know, I wanted to focus in on one thing that he said, Emily, with regards to listening to your body. And how often do you and I help our clients with listening to their body, not only with physical fitness, but with what they're eating. And I know you and I have talked before about how you'll have a client eat something, then you'll make sure they ask that question, how do you feel afterwards? Because that's when you can tell just on your own time if a food is working for you.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about performance optimization through like life changes. So this could be sickness or maybe like emotional stress. So Junior, how do you deal with your performance level when you have like other stressors going on in life?
Well, this is a good question, and I really like this question, simply because we can't be athletic or we can't perform well athletically on an island or in a corner. Our physical bodies are inseparably linked to our mental state, our emotional state, our spiritual state, our relationships, what's happening at home, what's happening in other areas of our lives. And I think that we see that when we see professional athletes making foolish, ridiculous, destructive choices that end their careers. A lot of times we wonder, they're famous, they're making millions of dollars, they're successful, why do they do something so foolish and ruin their lives? And it goes back to this question that you're asking, that we're not athletic in a corner. We're not performing well athletic in a corner separate from the rest of our lives. We can't amputate our athletic performance from the rest of who we are. And so that's a phenomenal question. But to answer your question, going around the bush to give you a little intro there, but to answer your question specifically, we have to become good managers of the other areas of our lives. And that means being linked up with people who are healthy emotionally, people that are good for you, people that are helpful, people that are supportive, people that lift you up, they don't push you down. Being linked into a good relational and social support system, whether it's your family, your friends, other athletes, your church, but having people around you that are positive will help us manage those ups and downs in life. But also, we can't just always look to other people. We have to really take ownership of our own life and say, whether there's people around me or not, I'm going to do what I need to do to become a wise, mature person and make wise, mature decisions in every area of my life. And so if I take that ownership of my life, if I take that ownership of my emotions, my mental state, and my relationships, and then I can more successfully navigate the difficult times. I can navigate the ups and downs, and it won't destroy me, and it won't ruin me or my athletic career. And so the bottom line principle here with that question is that our entire lives are yoked together. It's not as compartmentalized as some people would like for it to be. But if we manage our relationships well and we take ownership of our lives to become wise, mature people, then we can navigate those ups and downs well, and they won't jeopardize our athletic performance or any other area of our life for that matter.
I love that you said that our physical body is linked to all of the other parts of our body. It's not just the physical, it's not just the emotional, it's not just one part. Everything is linked together. And it's so hard to teach people that you can't just have a really good physical body and expect to be at your peak performance. So with that being said, what happens when someone has unresolved emotions or cannot figure out, the physical aspect? Maybe they have the physical aspect and they have destructive emotions, or they don't have the positive people in their life. Can that affect their performance?
Oh, absolutely. And it depends on the magnitude of the emotional negativity. There's some emotional negativity that's manageable and that we can continue through life and manage those emotions or seek healing for those emotions as we go, because the magnitude is not so great that it's overwhelming or backbreaking. But there are some emotional wounds, or there are some emotional states that are simply so big and so overwhelming that we have to take a time out from life. That's something that I have done. I've taken a two-year time out for my athletic career before. I've taken 6 months before. I've taken different periods of time, again, depending on the magnitude of the emotional negativity. But I have taken time off from not just professional sports, but from my ministry and from other things I was involved in to resolve and to seek healing for difficult things that I was going through that was just too overwhelming, whether it was directly tied to my emotions or my emotional history, or whether it was tied to something that had happened in the present tense that was unexpected, that was just so big that I had to take a time out to deal with it. But people need to realize that that it's okay to take time out. It's okay to slow down the pace of your life to deal with these things. And as wonderful as capitalism is, and I'm a supporter of capitalism, as wonderful as it is, the downside of it is that people don't take breaks and that people don't take time out and people don't slow down enough to deal with something other than capital, other than money, to deal with their emotions, their relationships, or when the bottom falls out of their life, taking time out and slowing down to deal with those things. So whether a person is a high-performing athlete or whether a person is a high-performing businessman, you have to do what you have to do to deal with negative emotions, especially if they've reached the 911 point to where they're really starting to hamper other areas of your life.
I think that's a really good point, just taking some time out to process what's going on and that it's okay, to take a break, because sometimes you just need to really comprehend and wrap your mind around what's going on and even replan, you know, set new goals for your future.
So, Junior, you have got some things that you're working on. Can you tell us what's happening in the future, what we should look out for?
Well, in the year 2014, I've got some television stuff in the works. It's kind of in the works behind the scenes. There's a couple of TV stations that I've had communications with that have shown interest in me doing some Christian television, whether it's doing interviews mixed with teaching and speaking or providing counsel, or if it's just strictly a lot of speaking and teaching. But that's kind of in the works behind the scenes. And so in 2014, hopefully that will kind of come to a head and break the surface. But I'm also moving to the area in Northwest Florida. There's some professional soccer stuff that's going on here that's developing, not just here, but also in Orlando. So soccer, professional soccer, is really blossoming again in Florida. It had a season years ago where it was very strong with a couple of MLS teams, but then it went into hibernation and those didn't do very well. But it's on the upsurge again here in Florida. So I am moving to the area to become a part of that. So I've got soccer on the horizon as well here in Northwest Florida for 2014. And just what I usually do, I travel and speak in different places, do radio and television interviews like I'm doing with you guys right now. So just the usual in that regard. Those are slated for 2014 as well. So I guess just more of the same, but a bigger scope. So I'm really excited about those things.
Well, that'll be great. We'll look out for you in the area then.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Look for me on the beach. That's where I'll be for sure. If there's a tent and no one has left it in weeks, that's probably me.
We need to check on that one. So you also are an author, and your book, Be Yourself, Finding and Freeing Your Truest Self Biblically. Where can people buy your book?
Well, they can buy that from the publisher, Zulon Press, and if you just Google it, it should come up.
And what's your website?
It's juniordesouza.com, juniordesouza.com, and I'm pretty sure no one else in America has that name. So if you just Google it, the right spelling, that will come up even if you misspell it.
Well, I definitely encourage everyone to find Junior's website and to also subscribe to his newsletter. I've been a subscriber for almost 4 years, and it's one email I actually read. The others just tend to get lost in a sea of spam. So it's a great newsletter. If you want to subscribe, just go to juniordesouza.com. And Junior, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Junior. I have learned a lot from you.
Well, awesome. Thanks, guys, for having me.
This is Melanie and Emily wanting you to live a nourished life. If you're interested in being interviewed on our podcast or you have questions for us, please please email us at thenourishingpodcast@gmail.com or check out our websites, thegreciangarden.com and nourishingmama.blogspot.com.